There's nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome to Studio 2009. I'm, of course, TFU and Mike. Joining me, as always, is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello.
7 episodes. Have we made it yet?
No.
I don't know. No, we haven't? Uh-oh, we're in trouble. Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
I knew that was coming.
Hey, June 30th was the X anniversary, 25th anniversary or whatever of Power Rangers the movie. So, you know, of course people won't hear this until God knows when, but whatever. So tonight we've had a change in the lineup. We're not talking about the goodness of pizza yet, but we will next month, I believe. Or yes, back in August, we will talk about the goodness of pizza. And we will even have a special guest robot with us as well. I haven't shared that with you yet. I'll send it to you after the fact. But tonight, we're going to be talking about how not every movie needs a sequel or its own universe. There are films out there that can exist as standalones.
That is very true.
Yes.
Very true.
Mm-hmm. While I absolutely love stuff like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the Fast franchise, the John Wick films, which the John Wick films are an interesting, I don't want to call it a franchise yet, but there are 3 movies already, so I don't know. And the thing with the John Wick movies is Keanu has said, as long as, you know, they're still popular, as long as he's still enjoying making them, they'll still be made. Sadly, he's also making The Matrix 4 and a bunch of other things.
So let's talk about that. So the movie that was theoretically done, did it need a sequel for The Matrix?
No. I mean, I get it. If it makes enough bank, the studio wants more from that franchise because it's proven itself as a moneymaker for the film studio. But some films do not need a sequel or as many sequels as they've gotten. I know a lot of people feel that Caddyshack 2 should never have been made, but that's the first film in that series that I found, which thankfully Caddyshack has only ever had 2 films. Thankfully, there's never been any cause or anyone screaming for Caddyshack to be rebooted.
Well, it's like like the Dumb and Dumber films did not need sequels or a prequel. And this kind of jumps in with that prequel-sequel thing of, you know, does it need to be made? There's quite a few movies that are being made that don't necessarily need it. There's like Coming to America 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yes, it would be interesting to see what happened. But is it too late in the game for it to matter?
I personally think it is, because that movie had a beginning, middle, and end. Like, you did, like, he found his queen, they went back to wherever. Okay. There might be more to the story after the fact, but it doesn't need to be a thing. And don't get me wrong, there are plenty of sequels that I absolutely love. I just mentioned, for me, Caddyshack 2. Personally, not saying it's the show's opinion, not saying it's the GCRN's opinion. I'm not infringing on anyone else's opinion here. I'm just saying, personally for me, because I saw Caddyshack 2 before the first film, because the first film came out the year I was born, so I couldn't have seen it at that point, obviously. Caddyshack 2 is my favorite of the two. Beverly Hills Cop 2. Saw that before the first one. The first one is amazing. Absolutely love it. But I love Cop 2 more.
Well, like, at the same I did like the third one in that series for totally different reasons, but it was... There's some movies where, like, the trilogy works best and just leave it as is, and then there's some that you just don't need that extra... And extra sequels, and I think The Matrix is one of those. I think Beverly Hills Cop's one of those, because I mean, there's been rumors of a fourth or, you know, a TV series that continues it
For decades.
Yeah, well, I mean, even recent.
Right.
There's, for instance, there's Bill and Ted, the third one coming out, which I desperately want to like this, and I hope that this rounds out the trilogy and that it's done. But same time, the first one was really good. The second one was kind of meh.
Listen to our last week's episode, folks, and you'll hear our thoughts on Bill and Ted.
Yeah, and the third one I'm excited for just to see what happens at this point.
Yeah.
Now, have you seen the Top Gun film?
I have not seen it yet. I've seen the trailers. I know it's supposed to be coming out. Who knows what's going on with, you know, the cosmic rust that has taken over our world. But I've seen a few of the teasers, a few of the trailers. I don't know too much about it just yet. I haven't actively researched it as of this recording. I guess it could be good. He's going to be an instructor, from what I can tell.
I just looked it up just because of my ignorance with the film. It says that the release date was supposed to be June 26th, or somewhere between there and December 23rd of this year.
Oh, great. Great.
So there's no concrete data there. One that's unfortunately been desperately damaged by multiple films is the Terminator franchise.
Yeah.
It's unfortunately suffered because of that. The sequelitis plague that it's contracted has basically ruined the franchise. Yes, the recent one, Dark Fate, wasn't that bad. Because it kind of took where T2 left off. And took from there and basically wiped out Terminator 3, 4, and the reboot.
Yeah, I didn't mind Genesis. I kind of liked that because, again,
it was a different twist.
Different twist. And the Terminator franchise was, again, another one that I never really... I saw T2 before I saw the first film. So T2 was my entry point to that franchise. It took me a long while to ever see Salvation. And T3 was not the greatest, but it wasn't the worst. The whole thing with releasing of sequels, whether they succeed or not, is, for me, it's more of, if you look at Back to the Future came out 35 years ago this year. And when it came out, it only took them 4 years after the fact. Yeah, 85 to 89. Yeah, 4 years. 89 and 90, 2 and 3, were filmed back to back and then were released in 89 and 90. I'm not saying every film should do that, but if you're going to set up a trilogy, set up a universe, or whatever you want to do, 2 years or less, I would think, in between releases, instead of 3 years, 4 years. Let's see, 87 to 94. So that's whatever it is, you know, that like, as much as I do enjoy parts of Beverly Hills Cop 3, 1994 was way too late for that for me. I was 14 at the time. Wasn't that I grew out of the Axel Foley character or didn't enjoy it. It just, I'm like, oh, Beverly Hills Cop 3. Okay.
Okay.
At that time.
Here's one that's suffered because of sequelitis too. Die Hard. We got the first one in 88, second one in 90. Mm-hmm. There was a five-year gap for the third one, which, again, was good, but it seemed almost like a rehash of the first one in a different area.
Right.
And then,
well, that's because the first and the third were the brothers, the Simon brothers, the Gruber brothers.
Yeah.
So first and third, I do enjoy. So.
I do enjoy those. Second one was not very good because it was trying too hard. trying harder. So the fourth film, I enjoyed that for what it was, and although it was 12-year gap.
Yeah.
And logically, that should have been the last one.
Yes, it should have been. We did not need Die Hard in Russia.
With six years later. And it was basically throw anybody in this movie, and it would just be a generic action movie. It didn't even feel like a Die Hard film.
Mm-hmm.
The minute that they go international with it, is the moment that it just tanks.
I have not seen
founded there. I did see it. There was speculation that there was going to be a new film called McClane, which would be more of a prequel to the original Die Hard and a continuation, like a prequel and a sequel, because they would have somebody play young McClane as a cop screwing something up and dealing with the consequences as, you know, a senior citizen. Because that's more or less what he is at this point. So I don't know. Like that one, they had talked. It was written in 2016, but Disney's got their hands in it now, and it's never going to get released. Which is probably good.
Yeah.
So there are some other movies, though, that I'm going through the IMDb list of.
Mm-hmm.
Possible upcoming movie sequels.
Right.
There's Avatar 2.
Yeah.
Which I didn't get the whole, like, unobtainium part of it. Like, I understood why people saw it in the theater. Because it was, like, this new 3D element that people weren't used to and this new CG.
Yep.
And the movie theaters were jam-packed that year in 2009.
That being
said, they're slating the second one to come out in 2021, and he's got like this whole five-film idea of what he wants to do. And honestly, I think it's kind of past that point of people giving a rip.
Yeah.
Because it's at this point, it's 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you've seen, have you seen Hancock?
I have not, but I know that there was some. Supposed to have been a sequel to that.
Yeah, that's one that honestly doesn't need one because it kind of wraps itself up.
Yeah.
There's Chronicle 2, which is supposedly announced. The first one was ridiculously bad.
I've never even heard of it. Okay, Who Framed Roger Rabbit 2 has been... Who Framed Roger Rabbit 2 is essentially like Beverly Hills Cop 4 or Back to the Future 4. It's been talked about for decades at this point, ever since the first film came out. Who Framed Roger Rabbit is a live-action animation masterpiece. It has a beginning, middle, and end. It does not need a prequel. It does not need a sequel. There's nowhere for you to... Especially now... Because Bob Hoskins is no longer with us.
Well,
and I know that every time that this comes up, either Robert Zemeckis or Bob Gale or whomever, mostly Zemeckis in the case of Roger Rabbit, comes up and says, nope, not interested, not this, not that. And just because the original director isn't interested doesn't mean that Hollywood won't be stupid and just try to find somebody else to do it.
What's funny is it's on IMDb as slated. It's in pre-production, is what it says. That we all know that IMDb is so accurate.
Yeah,
it was updated last year. It's It's one of those things, like some of, like even the talk of Beetlejuice 2 or another Indiana Jones, which that they'll probably actually make. Sherlock Holmes 3, Austin Powers 4.
I'm not even sure the last film I saw Mike Myers in, besides Shrek 4, and I know a lot of people would say, oh, the original animated film Shrek did not need a 2, 3, or a 4, and I thought that as well. I don't know what the timeline is for the Shrek franchise as far as releases go. However, I do know that the first one came out, I believe, in 2001. And it wasn't, you know, did we expect it? Whatever. It got a sequel. I thought by the third film it was fine and done. I actually didn't even see the fourth film until like way long after it hit release. So, but the Shrek films weren't like, they had a continuation. They continued the story. It worked. There are some that try to continue the story that don't work. And again, this is specifically an animated thing. Like, they even did a special Shrek the Halls kind of thing. But honestly, past Shrek Forever After, I'm looking at Mike Myers's IMDb, and I have not seen him in anything since then. He was on the Gong Show for 10 episodes in 2017. Okay.
What the heck that is?
Well, the Gong Show was an original game show thing, and he played this host and whatever. Obviously, Saturday Night Live, but, like, seriously, I'm looking, like, his IMDb is not exactly, apparently he has an untitled Netflix project coming up. Oh no, please do not turn him into another Adam Sandler for Netflix. He was in Bohemian Rhapsody as Ray Foster, and I have not seen Bohemian Rhapsody yet.
Yeah, I don't see him doing another Austin Powers film.
No, I don't either. I think Goldmember was more than enough. I don't know. And I'm not trying to be negative about this, folks. I just want the people listening to realize that, as I've said already, I do enjoy sequels, but the constant need for Hollywood to, like we mentioned before, the prequel or the sequel. If you have a movie that, unless you can get, let's use Roger Rabbit as an example, because that supposedly was supposed to have a prequel, and it was supposedly supposed to take place at an earlier time than the first film does, obviously, like, I don't know, 1930s or whatever it was supposed to be, because the original film took place in 1947. Unless you can get someone that looks like a young Eddie Valiant, that's not gonna, for me personally, that's not gonna bring me in. That's not gonna, like, go to Star Wars. Say what you will about the Disney sequels, the Disney part of the trilogy. When the prequels came out.
Yes.
Sir Alec Guinness was the original Obi-Wan, the old Obi-Wan episodes 4 to 6, Star Wars, Empire, and Jedi. Ewan McGregor plays him as the younger version. It worked because of the look, because of the way that he kind of got the character. That's the thing. You have to find, if you're going to do prequels, you have to be able to match what has come before. And if you can't do that, the prequel shouldn't be made, whether it's a good script or not. If you can't find people to pull it off, then you probably shouldn't do it.
Oh, yeah, totally. And the other funny part is there's so many people pining for more sequels of things instead of just creating new. And I'm not gonna lie. I've been guilty of it to some extent.
We all have.
Of wanting to see, like, oh, I love a sequel to this, like Sherlock Holmes 3. I'd like that because, yeah. I enjoyed Robert Downey Jr.'s
portrayal.
Take. Yes, his take on Sherlock Holmes. Now, watching The Hangover, for instance, in 2009. It was very crude and hilarious at the time. But then instead of just letting things be, they couldn't do it. They had to make another one. And yet another one after that. So they had the second one, which is 2 years after. Instead of in Vegas, they're in Thailand. And that one was just ridiculous. And then they go to the third one, and then it's, you know, which I don't even remember seeing the third one. But yeah, it was just, honestly, like, some of these movies don't need more. Pirates of the Caribbean, I felt like that trilogy was good. Yes, did I enjoy the other ones? Yeah, the fourth one was kind of stupid. And the fifth one wrapped it all up. Like, so a lot of the storylines with the characters. And so...
Yeah.
But again, there's so many different series where we don't necessarily need more. Because usually they get progressively worse. Because it will always pale in comparison to the original. In most cases.
Right. Okay, so take an actor that I love certain films of his. I know not everyone likes this actor because, oh, this actor is so over the top. Nicolas Cage.
I like him.
I like him in certain films. There are a lot of films of his that I don't watch, but, okay. In 2000, he did two films that I absolutely adore. The Family Man, which was him.
Oh, yeah.
With Don Cheadle and Tay Leone, and they did this whole...
A glimpse of what his life would have been had he become a
family. It's kind of like this whole It's a Wonderful Life kind of thing, kind of, sort of. Opposite, exactly. Yeah, so I love that film. That film has a beginning, middle, and end. And I will never, even though I've repeated that phrasing on this episode so many times at this point, I will never not be saying that because... Films can have a beginning, middle, and end. And at the end of that film, you see them meeting up and seeing what may or may not happen. If it happens, it happens. But right now, that film is celebrating 20 years this year that since it's released. I do not like, I can watch that film, go into it, enjoying it, come out of it at the end of it, and be like, that was a satisfying, full experience for me. Gone in 60 Seconds, another Nicolas Cage film that I absolutely love, even though it's a remake of the original film from 60s. I forget off the top. I'm not looking at what year the original Gone in 60 Seconds came out. Even though it's a remake, I enjoyed that film. There has been talks for a Gone in 60 Seconds 2 that was supposed to come out this year for years now. I think I don't want to say it's too late, but it's been too long. And that film for me lives on in infamy, not just because of Nicolas Cage, but because of the star-studded actors and actresses that they had in that. Angelina Jolie, Robert Duvall, Delroy Lindo is in that. Chai McBride is. Chai McBride has... His character has one of my favorite lines in that movie. He goes, you try to steal it. I love the line, and I can't say it to pull it off. He goes, oh, you pull a gun on somebody? Any asshole can pull a gun on somebody. You don't know the first thing about stealing a car. I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it pulled up, but just the way he said it with the attitude that he said it, he's such a great, great actor. But that film is something that, like, again, another thing that came out 20 years ago this year, something we'll be talking about in a couple of weeks on this podcast, Titan A.E. You look at Titan A.E., that has a beginning, middle, and end. At the end of it, they're on Planet Bob or New Earth or whatever you want to call it. Do we need another Titan A.E.? No, because that film, for me personally, is enjoyable from beginning, middle, and end that I didn't – I'm like, oh, okay. They had, like, they're at the beginning of the movie, their planet got destroyed by these energy beings. At the end of the movie, the Titan ship created a brand new Earth. All right, got it. They got their planet back. No more need of any other story, because that is the story.
Yeah, well, like, let's say, for instance, like, Speed. The first film was good, and the second film was dog snot enough that most of the original team didn't come back.
Yeah. It did not need no. And yeah. Thankfully Keanu's not so gung-ho on trying to do a Speed sequel 20-30 years after the fact.
But Bill and Ted.
Okay, well, you know, they're older. Like, I can't see an old Jack Traven and Annie, what's her name, Sandra Bullock. I can't see an old, but Bill and Ted, they've been through time. You know, they've done all this stuff. They have time travel on their side. You know, it could be a thing where when it comes out and you see it, you're like, oh, this is just another Dumb and Dumber. You don't know that yet, but it could be. You could be saying that, you know, a year from now, whenever we get to Bill and Ted 3 or whatever, whenever.
True.
Have we derailed the sequel train enough, I think? I don't know. I mean, like I said, I certain things have their own universe. Certain things have their own whatever, and that's great. And certain films can have sequels and should have sequels. And then there are certain ones that should not. That's basically my general overview of why not every movie needs a sequel. I know this is not something you may watch it at some point, but you probably won't. Chris Evans, Captain America, Chris Evans. He made his directorial film debut in 2014 with a movie called Before We Go. And it's this romantic comedy type thing. And it's about his character trying to, you know, help out this other, the female lead's character. And it's Alice Eve that plays the female lead, tries to help her get home and this, that, and the other thing. So they basically have this whole adventure around New York City at night kind of thing. At the end of the film, he goes and faces his demons. She goes home to face her demons. Will they, won't they is kind of there, whatever. But I don't need a sequel to see if they will or if they won't. Because most likely they won't with the way that film goes. But it's a good film that has, you know, like I said, the BME, the beginning, middle, and end. Anything else you want to say before I go into some very old feedback that we have to catch up on?
No, I mean, I think that... I think that I kind of just agree that there's some films that deserve sequels and then there's some that don't. And I think we're at this weird point in time where everybody thinks that everything should translate to either a separate TV show or get a sequel. Just because it was popular once doesn't necessarily mean that it's still popular or that it ever actually was. Maybe it was just a fluke. But I think that as we get more of this, like I realize that nostalgia is a heavy loaded cannon that people tend to, including ourselves, absolutely get attached to. But the downside of that is that there's no new innovation. Yes, there's only so many plot lines and plot stories that you can have. But ultimately, like, if we're not innovating, we're not creating anything new for people to basically become their nostalgia thing, you know, 20 years from now.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. So we do have some feedback, and I know our feedback, folks, is going to always come late because we tend to record these way in advance of each other. So way back in episode 3, when we did our top 10 Batman actors, Scanner51, he actually wrote this on Twitter, I think, or Facebook. And I said, hey, please go to the website and comment there so we can keep track of it for you. He says he liked our lists. He's not going to give opinions on them because, as I said, a list is just a list and it changes all the time. Here are his that he says that he likes. So his number 10 is Val Kilmer. First movie he ever stood in line for. He and the movie will always hold a place on any list that he makes. Number 9 was Jason O'Mara, who good voice for the new animated universe that they just killed, which kind of sucks. But Jason O'Mara was the one that was in like Batman and Robin and that kind of thing recently. It's the most recent animated stuff. Christian Bale is at his number 8. Peter Weller, great older Bat voice as well. Oh, that's right. I remember when Peter played him. Adam West is at his number 6. Will Friedle is at his number 5. Michael Keaton, 89 and only 89, is at his number 4. His top 3 are Bruce Greenwood, Ben Affleck, and Kevin Conroy. Obviously, 3, 2, 1. You know, iconic voice to end all bad voices for Conroy. So thank you, Scanner, for writing in for that. I don't want our show to tackle too many controversial things here, but since we are a new podcast and we kind of should bring this up because I thought of doing this for years and I just haven't. Scanner said, as of this recording, this was 5 days ago, podcasts who only answer Patreon questions are not favorites. Thanks at Geekcast Radio, among others I listen to, for not doing that and wanting to interact with your listeners. Somebody, not going to say who, hashtag not sellouts on the GCRN. Yeah, you know, I've thought about doing a Patreon thing before, you know, for TFG1, for the just overall Geekcast Radio. I think at one point you even set one up at one point for GCR, but whatever. It's either near here or there. I like Patreon. I like it in certain aspects. If I'm getting content that I can't get anywhere else or that creators aren't going to offer it anywhere else. But I've never – Patreon, when I first found it, was a tip jar. You could send a creator $10 for – you know, you still have the tiers that they have, but if you wanted to send for the $10 tier to get the reward or whatever it is, you sent it in once. It was a once in a thing. Now it's like, hey, would you like to pay this person $10 a month? I don't think anybody's going to pay me $10 a month for the stuff I create. I just don't think. I don't think I could offer enough. Okay, sure, early access. I would only ever charge anyone early access if, you know, maybe a dollar, because half the time I put the shit out early anyway. Anyone who has followed us for the last 11 years, if you really are paying attention, if you really have any of our shows on your podcatching clients, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, whatever, if you ever see an episode of, say, All Things Transformers or Tooncast or The Pullbag, if you ever see it before the day it's supposed to be actually out, that's because I publish it early on Spreaker so I can get the file to put and make sure it's right in our back end for the website. So I'm usually publishing a day early anyways, half the time. Anyone that doesn't want to, like, just the fact of anyone that doesn't want to interact with your listeners without your listeners having to pay you, that's kind of douchey.
Yep. No, I kind of get that. I'm not a big fan of it, so.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I have asked people for stuff over the years, and people have donated. But that's like a one-time kind of thing. Like if I say to whomever, I'm just going to put his name in here now because he has donated to us and to me several times over the years. Our good buddy Bondo Mike, who's also a fellow Massachusetts person, you know. If I send him a message saying, hey, I'd like to be able to cover this on the pull bag. If you donate, you'll get credit for helping create this. So like this episode featuring Back to the Future Volume 5 is sponsored by Bondo Mike because his donation went to me being able to get that fifth volume trade paperback or whatever kind of thing. You know, and I appreciate anything anyone has ever donated to us over the years. Absolutely. I've always said that. And I don't want an 24/7 interaction with the listeners, but I want enough interaction. Like I want this show and all of our shows to get as many comments on our website as possible. But I know, sadly, that doesn't always happen. But I enjoy the interaction that I have, and I wish that there was more at times because there isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned Bondo Mike. He replied to our question of what other top 10 lists should we do here inside Studio 2009, and he says – maybe top 10 comic movies or even just top 10 Marvel films, top 10 actors/characters in the Marvel movie franchises, which is all great ideas. I actually have a bunch of top 10 ideas for the future. So there is that. Anything you want to say, sir?
No, I mean, I like the feedback we're getting, and I hope that everybody's enjoying it. I would like to know and pose this question of what are some sequels that you felt needed to be made and some that you felt should never have seen the light of day?
Yes.
Just throwing awesome. That out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Let us know what are some sequels that you thought should have been made and some that you thought shouldn't have been made. You can comment on the website. You can always get us on social media at It's Studio 2009 on Twitter. I was going to say Facebook. Wow, that's bad. I'm distracted tonight, folks. You know, so there's all that good stuff. Yes, please answer that question. If people answer the question that you just posed, it most likely will be revealed in episode 9 of the podcast because coming up next here inside Studio 2009, in episode 8, we're going to be talking about Video Games We Love Part 1. Now, this specifically, and I'll say this when we start that episode here in a moment, this will be mainly the 8 and 16-bit eras at first, and then part 2 later down the line will be probably more modern gaming type stuff. Because it's funny, they actually went away from 8-bit, 16-bit, 32-bit.
Oh, yeah.
They went away from that a long time ago. So that's what's coming up next. Where can the people find you online, sir?
At SCP-21.
I am at TFGU and Mike. You can also follow at It's Studio 2009. Obviously, at Geekcast Radio on Twitter. Head on over to the website, geekcastradio.com. Check out this show and all of our other shows that we do. And, yeah, we will catch you again here inside the studio soon. We'll be right back.
In a world, there, I said it, happy.